life. The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Time right now is 8:30. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And for some people up in Villa Rica, you can hear us on Alexa. And this morning, we're also on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Good morning to you. This week, my name's Colin Worthington, by the way. This week, we're honoring the generations of women and men who have served and sacrificed for the idea of the United States of America. Nearly 250 years, our veterans have defended the values that make us strong so that our nation can stand as a citadel of liberty, a beacon of freedom, and a wellspring of possibilities. This morning, we have the opportunity to speak with a veteran of the U.S. Navy, having served in the Korean War, a war that technically is still going on, hasn't concluded, technically. His name is John Hanaback, and he is a resident of Villa Rica, and definitely great to have him join us this morning. Thank you for coming out to talk about your service and your life in general. I think it's great to document you, and thanks for your young lad for bringing you up here this
Thank
morning
you.
As well.
Appreciate him.
And I do want to encourage, you know, those of you watching this on Facebook Live this morning, do I encourage you to maybe share your name or your family member name who had served in the military. Again, as coming up Saturday is Veterans Day. And, you know, it's about recognizing and appreciating. And it's just a small thing to put it up there and have somebody see it and, you know, hit the like button or whatever, or have them in the thoughts. But, yeah, I encourage you to do that during this program. Again, my guest this morning, John Hanaback. Again, good morning. And let's start at the beginning, John. Let's go back to when you were just a little pea in the eye of mom and dad, and where it all started.
Well, I was born in Gary, Indiana, 1932, and I had two brothers that were 7 years older. They were twins, and we stayed in Gary till probably about 1939, and then we moved south out of Gary into a small farm. Right on the Tippecanoe River. Tippecanoe and Tyler too.
Yeah.
Was a beautiful place to grow up. We had about 100 acres there, and went to a little rinky-dink school in Leiters Ford, Indiana. That's where I graduated. We had the largest graduating class that had ever graduated from there. There were 22, so pretty small. But so I graduated.
It's enough for a football team.
Football. Didn't have enough kids to do that. So we had basketball. Basketball was a big thing. So graduated from Leiters Ford in May of 1950, and the Korean War started on June 25, and then by July 6th, I was in boot camp at Great Lakes.
Well, let's talk about that lead up to that, you know, even to that decision. So you're 17 years old, and obviously there wasn't the news coverage of, you know, events going on across the world as much. You didn't have Facebook, not that we have Facebook now, but, you know, maybe the year before that. I mean, what did you know about any kind of friction between North and South Korea or in Korea at that point?
Really not very much, if anything. The thing that encouraged me, one of my twin brothers, the brothers that were twins, had enlisted in the Navy during World War II. Mm. And so he was my motivator to consider doing the service. And at that time, in 1950, jobs around Leiter's Ford and Culver, Indiana, were just non-existent. So I would have had to go on probably back to Gary to work in the steel mills. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was what people did. And that was not attractive to me. We couldn't afford college. But so when this happened, I thought, okay, maybe that's a way for me to get some education and training and go on from there. So that was the motivator for me. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, to say, how
Korea,
much of
a, you know, what's that?
Yeah, how much of a head start did you have? I mean, if you know, I guess it officially started in June, or was it July?
June 25.
And did you know exactly when it happened? Was there, you know, news in America that there?
Yeah, there was, but it wasn't a big thing. It was probably a week later that Truman then made acknowledgement that the U.S. would join forces and defend Korea. Mm-hmm. So originally it was North Korea invading South Korea, and that was it. And then it was like a week later that Truman said, okay, we're going to defend the South Koreans. So until that time, but by that time I was in Great Lakes, so, you know, didn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I was committed by that time. So
what was the reasoning behind, you know, Truman, or, you know, I guess, does it differentiate from what you initially thought the reasoning was for us to go there and what you've learned since then?
Significantly different. You know, again, it was never really declared as a war. It was always a police action. Mm-hmm. So we never did declare a war in Korea. And we've never ended that war either, as probably most people may or may not know. But no, it was one of commitment then by Truman, with General MacArthur as the head of the troops. So it was just nobody knew anything about it. You know, Korea, you didn't know where it was, what it was. Didn't really know what we were doing there, per se. But then, you know, as the weeks went on, then it started to get increasingly bloody. So, you know, by the time I was done with boot camp, you know, it was a pretty solid activity going on. So it was a lot different.
Navy veteran John Hannaback, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, 91 years old, and we're recalling his time in Korea, and we'll talk about how he got to Villa Rica later on in the program. Also, he had a job with GE that kind of ties in with veteran affairs as well. We'll talk
Very
about that
so. Yeah.
Going on the program. Let's talk about boot camp. Was it everything expected? Was it harder?
Again, I had no idea what I was getting into, mm-hmm. so I can't say it was harder or less hard. But it was pretty significant. I mean, you do things in boot camp that you'll never do again. In the Navy, you learn how to fight fires, you learn how to shoot guns, you learn how to swim, and it was pretty rigorous. And there were a fair number of guys that did not pass swimming, so you know they were given special training to swim, because you're not going to get in the Navy in very long if you can't swim. So I'd say it was pretty rigorous, everybody was in the same boat. But again, that was the first time in my life that I'd been exposed to any of these kinds of people that were enlisted. So it was a total mix of different people, different nationalities to some extent, but different races,
And growing up in the Midwest, right, then, you know,
yeah,
at that point, you probably
little kid from Leiter's Ford, Indiana, you didn't see anything like that. So,
do you you have any stories about maybe some people that you took up long term relationships with, friendships?
Not in boot camp.
In boot camp,
No, that was it's pretty much you do your whatever 12 weeks and mm-hmm. and then you're shipped out to whatever. So no, never have made any contacts with anybody in boot camp.
So what happened after boot camp?
Then I got a chance to get some education. I went to a fire control technician school. And when you mentioned fire control to me, I said, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to fight fires. But guy said, no, it's electronics, computers, that kind of thing. The fire control is the control of gunfire. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So that got me into fire control. And then from there, immediately went aboard ship. So that was the USS St. Paul. And I picked her up in San Francisco. And then I, for the rest of the time that I was in the Navy, was on board the St. Paul. And I thought we ran on rails, because the ship would go from essentially Long Beach, California, to Hawaii, to Yokosuka, Japan, to Korea, and then come back the same way, and then go back over it the same way.
And what was that strategy?
Intermediate stop in Hawaii, when you're only there to replenish and then continue on. Japan was, again, just the same thing. Japan, you didn't have to stop there, but you could have gone directly to Korea. But once you got to Korea, we were just up and down the bomb line continuously, firing at anything that moved. We never encountered any aircraft that were threatening, but we did submarines. When we would go north on the bomb line, we'd go up to essentially the Yalu River, which was the border with Russia, and we would turn around there and then head back south. Every time we'd get to the northern border of the river there, there would be Russian submarines there. They never bothered us, but they were there. We always had a destroyer as an escort with us, and they were always on the lookout for subs. So, that was always a danger. That and mines. Always in the threat of running into a mine. And we would go into harbors in Korea, Wonsan, Hungnam, whatever. And those harbors would always be mined. And you would go in after the Navy had gone in with minesweepers and swept out the channels that you would go in to shoot and fire. But that was always a threat.
So, again, there's not a moment in those three years where you're not worried about something
right.
A little bit.
Exactly.
All right. John Hanenbeck, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, Korean War vet. And any questions or comments, I encourage you to post them up to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I'll share those with John. Tragic incident with your boat, and we'll definitely talk about that when we come back from this first break. Time right now is 8:41. Community Voice, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. We're on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page this morning, so thanks to you tuning in there. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is John Hanenbeck. He is a veteran of the U.S. Navy. Of course, Veterans Day is coming up Saturday. Before we continue, there's an event Saturday in Villarrica that you're going to be part of celebrating veterans.
Right. We've organized this. It's the first time that we've had anything, to my knowledge, recognizing veterans in Villarrica. We often come down to the one in Carroll County, their memorial park, but we're going to do one in Villarrica at the Mill on this Saturday from 10 till 12. So we encourage all of the veterans and their families to come out and have some recognition. And we've got a four-star Marine General, General Wilhelm, who will be our guest speaker. So.
And he's a Villa Rica resident.
He's a Villa Rica resident, and so he's in fact joined our little veterans group that we have there. So we're very pleased to have General Wilhelm there.
How many World War II veterans do you think are still in the community?
I'm going to ask for how many will be there on Saturday, but. Yeah. I know of none.
Carlos Fuller, who passed away about 3 weeks ago, he might have been 98 years old. He's one of the last, and I recall. But, yeah, I was told there might be two or three more in the county. I don't know how many up there towards Villa Rica.
I'd be surprised if we have any show. And I really don't think there'll be that many Korean veterans because we've been trying to reach out to them.
You were looking. That's how you and I got started with this conversation. You were looking for some
exactly.
Korean veterans.
Yeah. So there'll be a number of Vietnam veterans and then a number that have been occupational servicemen. We're hoping for a good turnout. So.
Well, very good. Again, that's going on at 11 o'clock?
From 10:30 till 12:30.
Okay, so. at the mill. And, of course, the one here in Carroll County is going on about the same time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's a shame. But,
and I hope this will become an annual event for Villa Rica. So.
Very good. Yeah, we need to have those. I mean, need to remember those. Let's see. USS St. Paul was your ship.
Heavy cruiser. In fact, the last all-gun cruiser in the Navy after the ship was destroyed. There's been no all-gun cruisers. Everything is now missiles and whatever. So we were the last all-gun cruiser. We had 5-inch and 8-inch guns, and that was a lot of bombardment on Korea.
Yeah, you say it was destroyed. When was it destroyed?
It was in Vietnam for 5 cruises to Vietnam, and then it was decommissioned in 1978, somewhere around there. So,
is it 30 of your fellow crewmen passed away during the Korean War?
Actually, 39. 30 in one turn explosion. We had 9 guys that went out in a motor whaleboat in Incheon Harbor and never returned. We searched for them for several days, found some bodies, no wreckage, not one scrap of wreckage from that motor whaleboat, which is just very hard to understand. But 3 of those 9 are still somewhere in Korea, MIA. Mm-hmm. So that was those were our first casualties. And then we had, in April of 52, we had a turret explosion that killed all 30 men that were in that turret, and we were lucky we didn't lose the ship, because that fire and explosion swept down. There were 2 bags of powder in the gun to be fired. There were 2 on a tray ready to be loaded, and then the fire went down the loading ramp and came, I'm told, within 5 feet of the powder room. Had it hit the powder room, we'd never had known what hit us. So, but everybody in that turret was killed, and that was the largest naval casualties of the Korean War. So, it was pretty bad.
When we got to the U.S. Portion, of being in Korea, I don't guess the U.S. ever completely left. But at that point, when you knew you were going home, talk about the buildup to finally, what was happening the weeks before you finally found out that you were able to go home, and how did you find out?
Well, we continued, cruising up and down the coast and shooting and firing at targets all along. And that continued for all the time we were there, continued up until the day the armistice was signed. Mm-hmm. In fact, my ship, the St. Paul, fired the last round of the Korean War. So we knew that there was going to be an armistice signed on that day. And so we fired the last round just before the armistice was signed. Mm-hmm. So the peace talks had been going on for years, but with no resolution whatsoever. So as we got into 53, early 53, we knew that it could happen at any time. But until that time, there was still fighting going on.
Yeah, you couldn't stop.
The Chinese were not to be swayed by any kind of truce talks. So it was bad. One of the probably most notable things that the St. Paul was involved in was in December of 1950, the evacuation of the Chosin Reservoir, which was a major battle. That's when the Chinese entered the war, came down across the Yalu River in the hundreds of thousands and just overwhelmed our troops. And it was cold. This is December 1950. I was told it was 55 degrees below zero. I don't know that because I was on board a ship, but I cannot imagine what those Marines and soldiers went through, equipped as they were. But they were, the Marines don't retreat. Okay, the order was given to advance in a different direction. So they were coming down from Chosin, and we were anchored in Hungnam Harbor, and we were constantly firing over the troops as they came down from Chosin into the Chinese. And we would fire 24/7. And in fact, it was a time where we had an ammunition ship on one side of our ship loading ammo as we were firing off of the other side. So that went on a good part of December. And then,
I mean, just constant streaks of light back and forth.
There was a hospital ship, the Constellation, that was also in Hungnam Harbor. And a lot of those particularly significantly injured or wounded would go be transported into the hospital ship. But we evacuated everybody that was there in Hungnam, and we got them all out. And then we were the last ship to leave the harbor on basically Christmas Eve of 1950.
I know you can tell us a lot of stories. I want to try and get a couple more questions in before the end of the show.
Sure.
But there's a love story in here too somewhere, right?
The first time we came back from Korea, the first cruise back, I had made contact with a girl who, from Latter'sford, Indiana, had come to Los Angeles to do nurses training. Why she came to L.A., I don't know. But she was there, so I had made mail contact with her. And when the ship got back in Long Beach, I had called Donna and said, you know, how about we could get together and, have some coffee.
Have a mocha, listen to jazz.
Yeah, there you go. And so she said, okay. And then in the meantime, a friend of mine, a buddy of mine, said, you know, how about fixing me up too? So I said, well, I'll call Donna and see. And so I called her, and she said, yeah, she could do that. So this friend of mine and I met with Donna and this other girl that he was dating. And I thought she was pretty nice. That was the last time I talked to Donna. The other girl was Rosemary. And so we started dating then. And it was kind of crazy dating. I was only off on, maybe a couple of days a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she is a nurse in nurses training in L.A. So we did a lot of things around L.A., like go to the 25-cent movies. And we went on one occasion out to the USC Coliseum to watch some of the track meets that were going on out there. So that was in 1952. And then subsequently, years later, we kept in contact, and we were married. So
And she hasn't got rid of you yet.
I'm sorry?
She hasn't got rid of you yet.
Not yet. So that was the nice event of the Korean War.
All right, I love it. It's 8:53 right now. We're going to take our final break and come back. We're going to get you to Villa Rica. I think I want to have you in Philadelphia first, right? Then we'll get you to Villa Rica. We'll have about 6 minutes to do that. Hope you'll stick around for that. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. you've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Hey, 54, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice on Newstalk 1330 FM 106.3. We're on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page this morning. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is John Hanaback. He's a veteran of the U.S. Navy, having served in Korea, 1950 to 1953? 54. Armistice was 1953, though, and that was the creation of the demilitarized zone.
Right.
Yeah, that's which exists today, and right. Again, in theory, that war is not concluded, but yeah, it hasn't been any big battles since right. then. And it's often called the Forgotten War, too, and I can see why. I mean, it's got to be offensive when you hear that, I would
it really
say,
is.
Because...
I mean, you know, we would come back from Korea, and people would that you would meet would say, well, you know, where you been? What's going on? As opposed to Vietnam, where those guys came back, and everybody was spitting on them and, right. you know, challenging them and whatever. But Korea was, nobody seemed to know back in the States anything about it. We lost 35,000 guys in Korea in 3 years. So it was a lot of casualties. There was a lot of loss in Korea.
Did you watch MASH when it was on?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Very, pretty typical. Of course, we had a doctor aboard ship, so we would take casualties aboard ship. We had a doctor there, so we didn't do anything particularly with the MASH, but yeah, they were an important part of
it. You guys didn't laugh as much as that, I'm guessing.
It wasn't no, right.
carrying on. You got about 4 minutes. You okay. ended up in Philadelphia, worked for GE, and what's the significance of that in our story here?
Well, I took advantage of the GI Bill when I got out of the Navy. I went to Purdue University, got a degree in electrical engineering, bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. On graduation, I joined GE and got involved in their aerospace defense activities. Started in Philadelphia, then went to Erie, Pennsylvania, and by the end of 59, I was in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, again, all aerospace defense. And then from Pittsfield back to Philadelphia with GE. And we were involved. We built the reentry vehicles for the Minuteman, for Polaris, Poseidon submarines. Those are still frontline defense for country today.
Wow.
But we built the reentry vehicles for those. Hope they still work.
Yeah. All right, we got 3 minutes. How did we get you to Billerica? How did you end up here?
Got out of, retired from GE, and went to work for Georgia Tech. I was a faculty at Georgia Tech for 12 years. And then took a retirement from Georgia Tech, and we moved to Villarica in about 1999, 2000, somewhere around there, and been in Villarica since then. So.
Well, since it served on the Planning and Zoning Board for Villarica,
yeah.
too, and that's how I met you. I remember you speaking out at city council meetings.
Yeah.
And again, 91 years old. What's the key here, John? What's the secret?
Exercised, yeah. both physically and mentally.
Mentally, yeah.
You know, and that's what planning and zoning does for me. Keeps me active mentally as much as anything. But I ride an exercise bike every day for 30 minutes at heart rate. I have been doing that for probably 50 years. And I've gone through at least 4 stationary bikes in my career. But, you know, the exercise and keeping active and involved mentally, that's really, in my opinion, the keys.
And the last thing here, what do you hope, when we have Veterans Day, when we, you know, people say Happy Veterans Day and things like that, what do you hope? What do you honestly want to see from the public on that day? What should our response be?
Very much appreciate the recognition. I mean, when you enlist, you take a pledge that you will serve this country, and you make a pledge to the Constitution. You don't make a pledge to an individual. So you make a pledge to the Constitution, and you're willing to give your life for this country. And so it's nice to be recognized that we were there to hopefully provide for the future of today's kids and whatever. All gave some, but some gave all. And that's what you like to be recognized.
So. And I think we agree that less people now are interested in being part of the service than they were back then, and less are qualified to do it with a physical or mental reason.
Unfortunately, yeah. That's true.
John, thank you for coming out this morning.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing your story. I mean, that was great. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you did as well, watching and listening at home and on the road. Time right now is 8:59. Community Voice is brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. Again, Veterans Day is Saturday, an event at the across from the Sheriff's Office Saturday morning and at the Mill Amphitheater in Villa Rica. Hope you get to attend one of those. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
National headlines and the local